You're listening to The Scene on Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell, joined by
Scott Fangold. I'm here representing the Illinois Times, and Rachel and I do this thing every week where we let you know what's going on throughout Central Illinois in terms of arts and entertainment and culture.
And we're coming at you from Southtown. We're currently sitting in Dumb Records. They were nice enough to let us set up shop because we were over in Black Sheep doing some interviews, which we'll bring you in just a second. But first, let's mention some theatrical performances out at New Salem.
Right. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats is being performed, I guess, for the second weekend. It's going to be the 11th, 12th, and 13th. You'll be able to see that. For those unfamiliar, Cats is based on the poetry of T.S. Eliot, and it's all from the point of view of some crazy cats doing their cat things. Actually, the way the stage is set up there at New Salem, it seems like it could be a lot of fun. Really curious to see how they're going to do that.
And so now we have another theatrical thing to tell you all about.
Yes, a brand new upstart group called the Absurdists
People's Theater.
Is doing their very first production at Black Sheep. They are a kind of a guerrilla punk rock theater group coming out with a very nervy debut. They're putting on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Pretty ambitious, and that will be happening this weekend. We're going to have a talk with the cast and the director of that.
And Scott, maybe you can just lay out the premise of that play.
Who's Afraid
us.
Of Virginia Woolf is a four-person play about two couples, one younger and one older, who meet at a party. They all are part of the community at a small university. And during the course of a rather alcohol-fueled evening, a lot of dirty laundry and a lot of psychological disturbance gets exposed, and a lot of really great furious writing by Edward Albee, very memorable one-liners and amazing drama. The film version that Mike Nichols did with Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor is really one of the great play-to-film examples out there. But this is going to be a very interesting thing. So let's talk to them about it.
Yes. So here comes a few interviews we did right sitting on the stage of Black Sheep.
Well, I am Alex Martin. I am the director, producer, slash founder, slash all of the things around getting this started and giving other people an opportunity to do theater, I guess.
We are currently sitting on the Black Sheep stage. There is a lot of graffiti on the wall that adds to kind of this surrealism of this living room that's kind of being constructed as we speak around us on this stage. It's definitely a very close venue. The audience will be very, very face-to-face with the actors, and that will add kind of this uncomfortable, claustrophobic feel to the actual final production, as like you actually walk through the front door of the house to enter into the audience. So the audience is sitting in the living room. There's going to be a door in the archway there. It's going to be a very close kind of black box theater feel.
So why did you pick this production, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Why did you pick this play to be the first for Black Sheep to take on?
I first and foremost absolutely adore this play, but also Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf was one of the first culture wars on Broadway of the 1960s. It was like one of the first plays that kind of came out into the mainstream that questioned this 1950s optimism that was a ruling theme in Broadway at the time. So that whole that interruption and disturbance of like this piece, I felt like was a very telling theme of the Black Sheep and how really interesting and cool new things are always happening here.
Here in Springfield, there are only certain types of plays that are performed, and they're usually pretty comfortable, you know, whereas this was sort of flies in the face of that, both in terms of the venue and the material. Tell us a little bit about your background, like how you came to this place where this is the thing that you're doing.
Well, I did theater in college. I was a theater major in college, and graduated from Blackburn just last year, and I was starting to look around into what theater was being done locally, and there was nothing that really was grabbing my interest, so I decided that I should start it myself. I just hope to kind of shake things up a little bit, give more variety to the Springfield art scene, give people who have not maybe acted or aren't as experienced an opportunity to apply themselves and learn. Like, we have a very open enrollment kind of policy. We're trying to open up opportunities for literally anyone who wants to get involved with any type of theater in any respect. Like, just giving them the place where they can do that and try that out and learn from people who have done this for years and learn from people who have practical knowledge and can spread that to try to get more education going.
Hi, I'm Keegan Otwell, and I will be playing George in Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Well, I actually play a 46-year-old history professor. He's an associate professor at this university, and a lot of his character revolves around his relationship with his wife because they're kind of together, their own character. But he's a very bitter old man who has gone through a lot in life and carries a lot with him, and his wife likes to constantly remind him of that. It's a very, what I would describe as a mutually abusive relationship. There's a lot of give and take.
How does this compare to other productions you've done in Springfield?
Well, this production specifically is based, would be what you call absurdist theater or American absurdism, and it's actually my first absurdist play, and that's like the biggest difference, because really, like, absurdism, you don't see it done a lot. The most popular example of just like absurdism would be Waiting for Godot. That's the biggest difference. And absurdist theater pretty much goes, it's like the themes of like futility and reminding us that life is meaningless, but that that doesn't have to be a bad thing and that we can rejoice in that fact.
As far as the absurdism of it goes, how does that, I mean, you said that George is sort of filled with despair and bitterness. Is there, but you also said that it's that there's a positive side. What kind of positive can you pull from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
I would say that it shows what humans can go through and what they can bear and still be standing at the end of it. It doesn't really have a lot of bright themes that are going to be, that give you like happy resolutions or lead you in a specific direction at all. Like, our lives aren't always perfect, and that another big theme in this play is like delusions and trying to dispel those delusions.
Anything else that you hope for this production?
Well, this being the first production of the Absurdist People's theater troupe, I hope it kind of launches this theater troupe and gets it up and off the ground. I think after a first successful production, there'll be more excitement around it because we really haven't done anything before this. It'll set a precedent for more shows to come and give an underground theater outlet for people who want some kind of alternative theater.
Hi, I'm Julia Mitchell, and I play Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about your character, Martha, in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, how that's been getting acquainted with her.
A lot of my friends have been joking that I can just act like myself, but no, she's an older woman who's kind of been caught up in the roles that society has given her, I think, has played into this, and I kind of love her in a way. I don't know, that sounds weird. She's not the friendliest character, you could say, but I feel like, I don't know, she is very dynamic, and it's just finding her own way to get through all of her own delusions and kind of stepping in and out of her own reality and trying to mix it with the reality that we all see, and it kind of gets distorted and mixed up, and it all kind of spilling out in this play.
How does this compare to any other theater you may have been a part of?
This is definitely a large step for me, playing such a hard character as Martha, compared to, like, I did Southeast Drama Club for all 4 years, and this is a lot more intense, I would definitely say. But it's been really fun. I actually stepped in late. I was the understudy for this character, which makes sense. I'm very young compared to, she's supposed to be like 50. But I stepped in last month, and I'm just kind of rushing to figure out my lines and throw myself into this character.
So what do you think is the most interesting part of George and Martha's relationship?
I love that question, actually, because I have a lot of thoughts on their relationship. And me and George have, my husband, Keegan, George, whatever, have spent a lot of time talking about that. But I would have to say it's that all through all of the fighting, there's a reason that they stayed together. And it seems on a superficial level, like, especially to this young couple coming in and watching them, like, slash each other's throats all the time, that under it all, they love each other and there's good intent. Like, they want to see each other succeed, and they're pushing each other in their own messed up way to, like, be who they know that each other can be.
So moving on to other things happening in the Central Illinois area, just a quick note that Saturday afternoon in Springfield, Nancy Hodge Long, who is a yoga teacher at the Trailhead Healing Arts Center, will be signing a book she wrote on restorative yoga. That's from 3 to 5, and she'll also be showing some of the yoga positions that she does on a regular basis over there. So anyone who might have taken part in restorative yoga, be a cool thing to stop by. And if you haven't, it's really cool yoga because basically it's like a glorified nap, and I love it, and that's the only yoga I do. That's my story. So
yeah, child pose the whole time.
It's really like just like there's, you have like five pillows and like prop yourself up in different, it's amazing.
I need to get some of that.
Everyone
action.
Should do restorative yes. yoga. I think the idea is it's for like athletes.
Sure.
You know, I have nothing to restore myself from.
It's hard just walking around, really.
It's hard out here. And then Burgers, Brats, and Blues is happening in Carlinville, Illinois on Saturday as well from 11 to 2 p.m. This is part of the Sam Jam fundraiser that was started to help a man named Sam. I had done the interview with his father before. It raised funds to support neurofibromatosis research and services. And so there will be music and food, and it's all fundraising out in Carlinville from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then something really fun going on in Champaign, it looks like.
Yeah, a crazy show looks like happening at the Accord, something called the Carnival Debauch, which is basically a carnival atmosphere. It says they're describing it as having daring dancers, fearless fire breathers, cheeky comedians with the heat of flames, the glitter of sequins, a throaty chuckle, and a flash of flesh. So if you can't find anything in that list of stuff that's interesting to you, you know, you might want to check your pulse. So Carnival Debauch is based in Champaign, and the show is going to be opened by Bruiser Queen, who are also doing another show in the area, if I'm not incorrect.
Yeah, so the Carnival Debauch, just to be clear, it's Saturday. There's two shows. Doors for the first show open at 6, and then there's a late show starting around 9:15 that opens with Bruiser Queen. Bruiser Queen is a duo from St. Louis who kind of gritty but also poppy punk duo. Their most recent album came out last year. It's called Sweet Static, and the little blurb that I found on their site about it says, the album pulls you close, makes you feel special, and then dances the night away with you like you're the only soul on earth. Yay, that sounds fun. But Bruiser Queen, yeah, will also be playing in
Springfield at Barnard.
Yeah, on Friday night at 9 p.m. They'll be joined by Boone, who are an indie rock trio from Springfield, the Starter Jackets, a brand new band from Springfield, and also a group called Dear Genre. Great. Looks like garage pop's going on, power pop's going on.
Well, so much pop.
Pop, and to give you a little bit more of the punk side of things, we're going to play a song by Bruiser Queen, since they will be making the rounds in Central Illinois over the weekend. This song is called
On the Radio.
How appropriate.
I know. What better song title?
I heard you on the radio. Whoa, whoa. I'm ready.
That was On the Radio, that we are playing On the Radio by Bruiser Queen.
The meta thing is just blowing my mind.
It's just too much. Well, that's Dynomite.
It is Dynomite. Speaking of Dynomite, Jimmy J.J. Walker himself is going to be performing at the Big Horse Vineyard. So that's something that you don't want to miss if you're like me. Jimmy J.J. Walker, legendary star of Good Times mentor, apparently, of David Letterman. I don't know if people know that, but David Letterman's first job in comedy was writing gags for J.J. And
I wish they would have switched positions in life. But
that would have been something. I would have liked to have seen that talk show run for 40 years. Great, hilarious Jimmy Walker. So check him out. He will be at the Big Horse Vineyard Peoria with opening act Todd Link.
So that's at the Big Horse Vineyard in Lewistown.
Hey, that can only mean one thing. It's time for Culture Corner, where Rachel and I tell you about the kind of stuff we're getting into in our, day-to-day kind of cultural excursions, you know, where we don't live in a bubble of only Central Illinois stuff. We're part of the world. Rachel, what's been on your radar?
Well, I'm going to go against everything you just said, mm-hmm. and this week's been fun, because not only did I get to interview my brother taking part in theater, but I got to reconnect with someone. I used to do community theater as a young lass, and someone who had been the same age as me, who is a phenomenal singer and always was a great actress, has moved on to New York City, where she is a substitute teacher and also sings in a touring a cappella group. And she recently finished writing a musical called Miss Education that takes on lots of serious issues like racism and problems within the education system, and she just did a reading recently at the Hoagland for it, which went very well. And as these things work, musicals and all, that takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to kind of do various read-throughs, get different producers to come along on board, go through multiple iterations. So she's kind of just going through those motions right now, but she came in to talk, so I'm just going to tease a little bit of that interview. I will be airing the rest of it next week, but just to give you a sense, this is Natalie Randall talking about the musical she wrote called Miss Education.
I'm a substitute teacher in New York, and I've substitute taught for 4 years, and I also tutor, and I just met a lot of kids while doing that. And it's just basically, I like to say it's inspired by true stories, but this story is told with fictional characters, because these are students that really, you know, could be out there. Maybe a teacher has them. And even as we did the reading, there are some educators who were in the actual reading who were like, you know, this is all true. I've experienced this. And it's basically these seven kids, how they interact. It has to do with gun violence, gang violence, prostitution, drugs, just everything that, you know, kids in inner cities, I mean, anywhere really, you know, small town or big town, can get into, and trying to rise above it. And unfortunately, some of them don't rise above it.
That's Natalie Randall and her musical that she is in the process of seeing come to fruition is called Miss Education. And you can find a longer interview that I did with her will be out next week at illinoisedition.org. What do you have, Scott?
Well, on a much more impersonal note, a band I've kind of discovered lately, I actually saw them a few weeks ago open for the Black Lips in St. Louis, the latest project of sort of indie rock stalwart, long-term mainstay Ian Sfenonius, who's been in the band Nation of Ulysses and also Weird War and The Makeup, but his most recent or current band is called Chain and the Gang. They're kind of an odd mix of 60s throwback type of music with sort of more politically charged but sardonic music. They're really fun to see live. I thought so anyway. I've always been kind of a fan of Ian's stuff, and this is a little song by them, just a little snippet of a song from their latest record. It's called Crime Don't Pay.
Should have thought.
That was Crime Don't Pay by Chain and the Gang. And I think that wraps it up for Culture Corner.
Time for Song of the Week.
Oh, what could that be, Rachel?
I think we both were aware of No Name releasing her first mix tape called Telephone. And No Name is a 24-year-old from the Bronzeville neighborhood of Chicago. She's worked with Chance the Rapper, also from Chicago. They met as teenagers in the U-Media project, which was a way for young artists to create and network with one another. We're going to play a song on the mixtape called Freedom Interlude, and it features samples of Nina Simone talking about her idea of freedom. Here it is, Freedom Interlude by No Name. Check her out.
I thought I was gonna write a rap. I thought I was gone. I thought I was gonna write a rap, but this be baby miracle. Virginity and Kerrygold, alphabet and a cereal. I forget why I'm here alone, sentiment for a different song. Let's get back to IG. I'll pin the DM, I think he liked me. Asiatic, black man, affinity with lap dance. The walls is caving, the laws is changing. Because we ain't the God, we made them, they all forgave them. I think I wrote a song about confusion and perception. Messages and bottles, disillusion on the guest list. You said plus one, so where your plus one at? I hope he finds his way to Arizona now. I hope he finds a team and she hold him down. What a pretty lady in the valley of the shadows. I'm thinking she lost the battle. I'm thinking she found the bottle. Blueberry bubblegum bassinet in my hideout. Baby say turn the lights low. Mama say go to bed now. I had a dream. I rocked my baby fast asleep. Count the toes. They're all there. Kiss the cheek. I think this is a song about redemption or a mother's intuition. How my kitchen sounds like church bells. Why they sell me my dollar and my dream? White picket fence. Crop of the cream. I know this is a song for overcoming and me coming and me running out of places. Dance with me, dance with me, dance with me, and dance with me, dance with me, and dance with me, dance with me.
Just a feeling.